He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit, the sealing of the Spirit, as a guarantee, as a pledge, as an earnest money, money put down, as a deposit, if you will.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Delighted to be here today and share the Word of God with you. Currently, we're airing Pastor Bill's recent study from the Epistle of Ephesians. So let's join Pastor for today's message, In That Day.
Ephesians, remember this great epistle that we're studying. We're still in chapter 1. We're only going to cover two verses this morning. You know, the epistle of Paul that he wrote while in prison from Rome has been called the supreme book of the New Testament. There's no doubt about it. Matter of fact, as we go through these six chapters, it's like opening one treasure chamber after another, because all of these incredible, exceeding, abundant, abounding the riches of his grace belong to us, all because of God's favor. The Bible says, as you've already learned there in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, a past fact and a present reality, amen, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Do you believe that? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which is in and only in him, Christ Jesus, our Lord. They belong to those who are born from above, who God has saved. Amen? They belong to you. We appropriate those promises by faith. Now, we have covered the Trinity. As of today, we'll cover the Trinity in these verses. Remember, the first one was God the Father, the work that he did in eternity. Then the sacrifice of his son. Jesus has redeemed us. He's paid for our sins. Amen? But now, for the first time in Ephesians, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And we're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, what he has done in those who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Loved one, listen very carefully now. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, they're deep. Paul is up in the heavens, okay? But here's the deal. They are doctrine. And, you know, today, in the church today, people are some of the believers, not all, of course, but I don't want to hear doctrine. I need something that's going to pick me up. Well, that's what's going to pick you up. A feel-good message is okay, but you're just going to feel good. I want something that's going to make me solid. I want something that's going to make me unimmovable, amen? I want something that's never going to let me be shaken in this life. That's what doctrine does. When you know what justification or sanctification, propitiation, or any of those, what are they? Well, when you know, you can stand on the rock and you can be immovable, amen, in this life. So the first three chapters are doctrine. After we leave chapter 3, the last verse, we move into from our position in Christ Jesus to our calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you walk worthy of your calling. All the things that we are going to learn and have learned, chapters 1 and 2 and 3, Paul says, walk out your position because you can. Amen? So it's very important that we understand that and grasp that in our heart. Now, this morning, as we look until that day, loved one, that we have covered, in a sense, a divine outline. And I'm going to kind of do a review and move from eternity past all the way to our future inheritance this morning, okay, with these two verses that we're in. Now, with that being said, we're going to go from eternity past, to history present, to our future inheritance. And you know, in the history past, what happened? God the Father, we covered that, the work of God the Father, he chose you in him before the foundation of this world. Think about that. Man, he chose you before there was the first fish flop, before there was a tree, before there was water, but when it was only God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that was it. Whatever and however God did that divine counsel, that divine plan among the three, which is who God is one, of course, manifested in three personalities. Loved one, listen, I don't know. I just know this. Man, before you were ever born, you had no idea. Do you understand? That God says, I want you. I pick you. I select you. You were not chosen in time. God didn't choose you when you were born in this world. God chose you in eternity. Your name, as you've heard me say, is as eternal as Almighty God. Man, I think, and I say, oh, Lord, you chose me. You chose them before the foundation of the earth? Yes, Bill. I owned you before time began, and I will own you, and you will belong to me after time is no more. I chose you to be, and you chose you to be as the adoption of sons, amen, and daughters. He says, we are now accepted in the beloved. Loved one, listen to me. If you're in Christ, if he's your Lord, that is your eternal position, and it's all by the riches of his grace, amen. Man, and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. So from eternity past, something else happened. He chose us, and then we have to move into history past. It says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time came, what did God do? He sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those, us, amen? Man, listen. So we go back and we say, oh, Lord, you mean to tell me that before I was ever born, think about this, before you were ever born, 2,000 years ago, anybody that old? Loved one, listen, I didn't have a clue that there was a man called Jesus who was the Son of the living God, who was sinless and spotless, who willingly, of his own volition, went to the cross and paid the sin debt of the world, my sin debt. Do you understand? I wasn't even the Viking yet in Ireland. No. And I say, oh, Lord. I had no idea that when Jesus, my Lord now, was crucified 2,000 years ago, I was crucified with him in God's eyes. Amen? Listen, when Jesus not only died for me, he died as me on the cross. He paid my penalty, my sin, as well as yours. And I say, oh, Lord, I had no clue. I had no idea that one day I would be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and my sins would be forgiven, your sins would be forgiven as far as the east is from the west. We're doing a review. Are you with me? Now, not only that, let's move from eternity past, history past, and let's move to history present. So here's what happened. God picked us in eternity. He chose us in him in eternity. Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. That's why he came, to set us free. And then we move up to who we are in our own generation. So from the cross all the way at generation after generation after generation, let's use me as an example. There I was, a young man. I was looking for the truth in my life, and what did I do? I got into my pickup truck. I drove from Texas into Florida, had no clue why, and just I'm looking. And you know the story. There I was on the beach. The sun was coming up. And there comes this hippie. And he comes up and he says, hey, man, you look like you're looking for the truth. And I said, whoa. You see, I was looking for the truth. Do you understand? Right that moment. Man, it was the eighth month. Eighth, that's August. Eighth is the number of the new beginning. Now listen to me. Here I was. The sun was coming up. Here's that guy. I'm kneeling down just thinking. I'm not going to tell you what I had in my hand. You already know what I had in my hand. Falstaff. Now, do they still make Falstaff? And there I was. Now listen to me. I was dead in trespasses and sins. Are you following me? I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know anything about God. God was not in my thinking. And yet that guy that walked up, he says, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. Take my hand. That very moment, listen to me now, what God did in eternity became a present reality in my life. Does that make sense? Here I was dead in trespasses and sins, man, blinded by the devil, whatever you want to call it. But the moment I prayed with that man, the moment I did that, I opened my eyes and everything was different. Old things were already passing away and all things became brand new in my life. That's how it happened to you as well. And then something happened. Verse 13, look at it carefully. It says, then in him, meaning Jesus, there I was on that beach, You also trusted after you heard the what? The word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In verse 13, right there in one verse, you find the entire scope or process of being saved. What God did in eternity now becomes a reality in your life. Loved one, listen. Some faithful believer could have been a pastor, could have been a Sunday school teacher, youth pastor, relative, friend. It doesn't matter. They were faithful. They were an ambassador of Christ. What did they do? They shared the good news, the gospel. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus is coming for you. Heaven is your home. Don't go to hell. Why would you do that? Jesus has paid your sin debt. He's risen from the dead. He's alive. He wants to give you eternal life. The gospel, the good news, that is the or God's word of truth, loved one. Now, after you heard that, let me ask you a question about hearing the gospel. How much of the gospel does a person really need to hear? Have you ever think about that? Well, I'm going to take you through the five steps of salvation, a Roman road. You know what I mean. Do you ever, you know, can I just encourage you to do something? Before you share the Roman road, why don't you ask God to the person you're about to share Jesus with, Lord, do you have a word for this lost person? Is there one word I can say that will grab his heart? And grab it. You see, that's what the hippie on the beach did to me. I didn't hear the gospel. He didn't share. I didn't know anything about anything. You know, I didn't know who God was, who Jesus was. I had no clue. I'd watched, you know, Ten Commandments and stuff like that. And, you know, come on. And there he said one thing. Look like you're looking for the truth. Hit me. He didn't even give me the address of the scripture he quoted. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free or make you free. John 8:32, which is my life verse. That's all he said. And my heart, I knew something happened. Something happened in my heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Now listen, what does that mean, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God? Okay, here this guy was just sharing those few words with me, but something happened. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word, not the logos. That's the on the written page of your Bible, the logos of God. You know, that's the information. But the word there in Greek is not logos, it's rhema, which means information. Now, God's information now becomes alive. Information becomes revelation. You look like you're looking for the truth. Boom, he had me. He had me right there because God in eternity had a plan. Are you with me? The same plan he had for you. The good news you heard became the living word of truth in your heart. You believed, and instantly you were born from above. It was not a process. You were born instantly, a brand new creation, loved one. Old things again passed away. All things become new in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a glorious day. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about the Lord. I didn't know anything about the Bible. If somebody it said, do you know what justification is? I don't know what you're talking about. Do you understand? But I knew this. I knew that something happened to me. I knew it. I didn't know it. You know, it's like I told the early service. I'll never forget that moment. I mean, here I am. I'm nearly 70 years old, loved one. You know, and I look back all 40-some-odd years ago. I can see it as clear as I'm looking at you right now. When I opened my eyes after I prayed with him, I swear I remember it like right now. I see the ocean. I see the sun coming up out of the ocean. But everything looked different. Everything looked new. I didn't know what had happened, but I know one thing. I was changed. I was not the same. I knew that God and Jesus had to be real. Are you following me? Man, and I looked at that and I said, oh, like the Bible says in James 1:18, of his own will or God's own will, he brought us forth. How did he do it? By the word of truth. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, meaning the good news, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and to the Gentile. Amen? It's a universal word. Anybody can be saved. Oh, the gospel, loved one, is not about you. It's about what God has done for you and for me. And I say, oh, Lord, how wonderful to know. And it says, look at it now in verse 13, having believed, you were spargizo. That's Greek. You ready for that? Let me say it again. You were spargizo. Don't you like that word? Ooh, I mean, spargizo. I just like it. You know? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The very moment, the very second that you said, oh, Lord Jesus, or however you prayed it, or whatever prayer you were led in, oh, Lord, I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart, Jesus, be my Lord. Please save me. You were not only saved, but you were sealed in your heart with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you study out the word seal in the New Testament, there's probably four or five different times it's used, Revelation also in other areas. But the three things that the seal of the Holy Spirit signifies is the first one would be a finished transaction. Say that with me, a finished transaction. Now, that's what the word seal means. Let me give you an example. John 19:30, Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. He didn't say man was finished. He said the sin debt of the world has been paid for and will never have to be paid for again. I am the only sacrifice that can take away the sins of all mankind. Amen? It is finished. It is a finished transition. What God determined, or God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit determined in that divine council in eternity where Jesus willingly came to die for us. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8 that he is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So the seal signifies a finished transaction. You are a finished transaction in the eyes of God because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Are you with me? Okay, now it means something else. The other word for seal is found in 2 Timothy 2:19. Let me read it. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, here it comes, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. So the word seal signifies a finished transaction, but it also signifies ownership. God owns you. We are all bought at a price. Amen? Oh, he owns me. I mean, he owns me. The devil doesn't own me. The world doesn't own me. God the Father owns you, owns me, loved one. The Lord says, he knows who are his. And may I say something? He knows those are not his. He knows. And now it also signifies one more in the word seal. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says, of God, by whom you were sealed, past tense, for the day of redemption. So you're a finished transaction. You're owned by God. And then here that I just read, you are secure in God. Amen? Now listen, the Holy Spirit himself is our seal. He takes up permanent residence in our hearts. That means that what God owns, whatever God owns, is eternally secure. Let me tell you what one scholar writes on the meaning of the seal. He said, the seal means this. It means that this person now belongs to God and is an authentic citizen of God's divine kingdom, and that he is also, or she, a member of God's divine family. You cannot get kicked out of God's family if you're in God's family. You've already been kicked out of the Adams family, amen? Yeah, that's over with. God says, no, you're mine. You're my son. I bought you. You're my daughter. I bought you. And here's what I did. I sealed you with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, there is no such thing as Christianity, or I should say there's no such thing as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8:9, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, okay, he is not his. What a frightening word. Listen, there are a lot of people today, good people, wonderful people, and they call themselves great names. They can call themselves a Baptist. Nothing wrong with calling yourself a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Method, whatever's next, a Calvary Chapel. You can call yourself all those things. You can call yourself a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher. You could even call yourself a Democrat or a Republican. And I don't know which one is worse. But if you do not have the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God, no matter what you call yourself, you do not belong to God. Boy, you don't belong to the Lord. Listen to me now. When you come to Christ, you know something has happened. Listen, you're born from above. It's an experience, and it really is. A piece of, I didn't feel anything. Yes, you did. Something happened, or you wouldn't keep going on. Do you understand? Listen, the Holy Spirit is not a doctrine. Don't make a doctrine out. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's a person. Amen? Yes, he's real. He's not only living in us, but he's here alongside us right now. The born-again experience is a miracle from God. The new birth is a miracle from God. He creates the new man in our heart where the old man used to live. He's been kicked off the throne of our heart. The Holy Spirit wants to rule now. You have to give it, you have to let the slave in me. I don't want that crummy slave. Amen? I want the Spirit. That's all I want. Now, the Bible tells us in Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, talking about experiencing God, you can know you're born again. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. That's Aramaic, which means Papa or Daddy. Listen, it says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are sons and daughters of God. The moment a person comes to Christ, something happens. There's a witnessing that takes place with my unregenerated spirit and now being regenerated and with the living God. Oh, listen, what a witness. I have the assurance, you have the assurance of salvation. You know that you're saved. You know that you belong to God because you have been sealed with the Spirit. Now, with all that being said, we went from all the way back to eternity, to history past, to history present. Now, I want to take you to our future inheritance. Look at verse 14. It says, who, now it's the Holy Spirit, of course, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. And what's that next word? Until. That is a very important word. Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Let me read it a little different. Who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of God's purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen? We are purchased. We belong to the Lord. Now listen, the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts is the guarantee. And he guarantees the final payment. In other words, he guarantees us that he's going to work in us, conforming us to the image of our Lord, and he's going to get us home. Amen? We cannot do it in our own power, but we can do it in the power of another. So we have received, if you will, in a sense, a part of the whole. A part of the whole. In ancient times, let's say that a person wanted to purchase land. Well, what they would do, he would come and they would get a little bag or whatnot, and they would dig some of the land, some of the soil from the land that's going to be purchased, and they put it into a bag. And they would give it unto the purchaser as a pledge, all right? In other words, as a guarantee that the whole land is going to be transferred to him, but it'll happen in due time. A part of it he receives, but he's going to get the rest of it later on. Now listen, it was only a part, but that's the deal with the Holy Spirit. He is the guarantee of the rest to come. Oh, loved one, it says in 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, listen carefully, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit, or given us the seal of the Spirit in our hearts, as a guarantee.
Well, that's all the time for today, but there's much more to this message. So please join us tomorrow to hear the conclusion. Thank you for the privilege of your time today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.